Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
This morning, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21 says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." That's tough for us to swallow, isn't it? But, you know, the Lord's mercy is everlasting and he's long-suffering, and we have to learn. This is one of those things that you grow into, you learn, and you don't get it right the first time. But he said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, I have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, and said, Pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. And should not you have also had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was angry and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass." So today I want to talk to you with this title in mind, forgiveness. For me and from me. Forgiveness is not just for me, but it should issue out from me. Let's pray one more time as we go into the lesson. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for your great mercy, your great grace and forgiveness that you have on us. And Lord, today let us hear, Lord, what you're saying to our hearts. Let it challenge us and change us and help us today. We want to be more like you, and we want this world to see the love of God in our lives. And Lord, so help us with this today. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord one more time this morning. Aren't you thankful for his forgiveness today? Forgiveness is something that, you know, that is a cornerstone of Christian faith, because it's really based on, man, we're so thankful that God forgives our sins. We're thankful for that, but I'll tell you that unforgiveness is probably the greatest roadblock to any Christian in their walk, because forgiveness is hard to deal with. You know, the fact that Peter would come and say, you know, how often do I have to do this? He, you know, they're thinking about this. You know, we see how you are, and now we're going to be walking with you, and we're trying to do the things you want us to do. So I need to know, how often am I going to have to forgive my brother? You know, seven times? You know, and the Lord said, well, no, but 70 times seven. Of course, that's not even a number. He's not giving you an exact number so that you can be marking off, you know, on the wall how many times I've forgiven them. He's letting you know that it's going to be always. As long as they turn and with their heart repent to you, then you should offer forgiveness. And forgiveness for us is, you know, like I said, it's a roadblock. Unforgiveness is a roadblock. There's nothing that will stop your progress quicker than unforgiveness. There's nothing that will get you in trouble with the Lord faster than unforgiveness, because he knows that he has forgiven you. He knows how good he has been to you, and that's in the parable that we just read. The king understands, I forgave you all that debt because you desired that from me. Shouldn't you have done the same? If I did it for you, then you should do it for others. Forgiveness is not just for you. It should go from you. It should issue out from you. And freedom comes with forgiveness. When you forgive someone, there's freedom. Really, you get freedom from sin. That's great. But you also get freedom from the prison that unforgiveness brings. You need to be able to forgive. And it does, you know, we always talk about forgive and forget, and that's a man-made saying. There's no scripture about forgive and forget. He never said you would just forget what happened to you. He just said forgive it. Just like God has not forgotten all the things he forgave me of. He doesn't remember it against me, but he doesn't lose. Everything I've done is written down in a book. Every idle word I speak will be written down in a book. So, I'll give an account for those things. But he'll see what was covered by the blood, what I repented of, how I did. But God sees that. So don't ever think, I've said this before, just because you can remember it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven it. It doesn't mean you haven't overcome it. Some things you just won't forget. It happened, but you can forgive it and move on with your life and be free. You free yourself. Sometimes people, you can forgive people and they could care less if you forgave them or not. But that's not up to you. Whatever they decide to do with it, let them do that. You do what you're supposed to do. You offer the forgiveness that needs to be offered. And if they throw it back in your face, then that's on them. But you have cleared yourself. You have cleared your heart. You have searched yourself and done like God would do. Because a lot of people he would forgive, they didn't care. They didn't care what he had to say. It's evident even today. People don't care that he paid that price so he could forgive them. But he did it anyway. And he would pray from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it's like that today. The mercy of the Lord is still, that prayer is still forever settled. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And so we want to make sure that forgiveness is part of our walk with God, that because you can't say, well, I'll pray enough to where I don't have to forgive people. If you're really praying, then you'll want to forgive people. Well, I'll just have perfect attendance and I won't have to worry about forgiving people. It don't work like that. I won't miss paying my tithes and I won't have to worry about forgiving. It don't work like that. Those are all things you ought to be doing anyway. You don't get to cancel out. You're not customizing. This is not a lunch menu, pick two. You know, it's like we've got to do all that the scripture commands us to do, and forgiveness is part of that. And, you know, on that theme of from a couple of weeks ago, you know, being the best version of yourself, when you learn to forgive, you will be the best version of yourself. People will see that kindness in you, and that they'll see God in you. The scripture said, Paul wrote it to the Corinthian church, he said, we are supposed to manifest the life of Jesus in our body. Well, if we are doing that, then forgiveness will be at the front of the line, because he forgave us of all our sins. His blood cleanses us from all of our sins. And it will be, you know, people will see that in who we are and what we are, what we display. People will see the forgiveness that we have for others in our life. And we have a hard time with forgiveness from us, but we love forgiveness to us. You know, we love forgiveness for me. It's the from me where we get tangled up, because we love the fact that God just, you know, that he forgives our sins. Psalm 103, in verse 2 and 3, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases." More important than healing, he listed forgiveness first. He said, number one, we bless you, Lord, and we're not going to forget your benefits, because you forgive us of all our iniquity and you heal our diseases. But we love that he forgives all. There's nothing we can't wrong him in a way that he won't forgive us. Psalm 130 says, "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who shall stand?" We couldn't live if God marked that. At the last day, we would not be able to stand if God just marked our iniquity and there was no way out of it. He said, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that you may be feared. And I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope." And his word tells me that he is a forgiver. And so I hope in that word, that if I make these mistakes, that I know that God will forgive me. That's why John wrote 1 John 1 and 9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He said in another place, "The blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin." So we're thankful for this, the forgiveness for us. But knowing all that, we have to remember this in Matthew 10 and 25, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord." Be like your master. Be like the Lord. And what does the Lord do? He forgives. He has mercy. He has compassion. And there's many other things, but we think that's an impossible thing to measure up to. But it's not impossible to be forgiving, because Jesus taught for us to be forgiving, and he wouldn't teach us to do something we can't do. But if we think it's just going to happen because we started going to church, then all of a sudden I come to church, and now all of a sudden I just forgive people left and right. No, forgiveness will come with prayer and fasting and wrestling and anger. You'll go through all the emotions getting to forgiveness sometimes. But if you put the work in, you'll get the benefit of it. It's just like anything else. We must work out our salvation, and forgiveness is part of our salvation. And we have to work that out in our life and realize sometimes that, you know, people are people. And on their best day, the scripture says, on your best day is still vanity. And sometimes on their best day, they can still hurt you. They can, cross you. They can do something against you. And you're going to have to be able to be in a place where you can forgive. You should not worry about forgiveness, put it off until all of a sudden you need it. You should be praying, "God, help me to be forgiving as you are before the offense. Lord, teach me to be compassionate. Teach me to have mercy. Teach me to be long-suffering." Because when you get those attributes and that fruit of the Spirit actively working in your life, then when the offense comes, it's not so hard to just forgive. It doesn't mean it doesn't make you angry. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt your feelings, but you can forgive. You know, we think, well, God doesn't get angry. Yes, God does get angry, but he doesn't chasten us in his anger. He chastens us in his love. And so if we're already praying to be that kind of person, "Lord, I want to be the kind of person that can forgive others. I want to be like you. I want to be like my master. I want to be like my Lord." And so I'm not off the hook when it comes to forgiveness. No matter how good I shout, no matter how good I can preach or teach or how faithful I am in attendance, none of that is going to exempt me from forgiving. And if we don't forgive, there's consequences to that, as we saw in this parable. But We want to make sure we, you know, as his disciples in his service, that we are showing the world we are like him in every way that we can be. You know, we're not going to ever be God, but we can be like he was on this earth, loving people, merciful, forgiving, compassionate. And so it ain't just about when Jesus said, you know, the things I've done you'll do and greater things shall you do. Well, don't forget that he forgave people. You know, we think about miracles and, man, am I going to walk on water one day? Am I going to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover and signs and wonders and miracles and those things? But the greatest miracle you and I have ever experienced is the forgiveness of our sin. When we repented and God cleansed us, when we went down in that water in his name and came up and we were washed, that's the greatest miracle ever. Because no matter what physical miracle you could perform, it won't save you. You would still be lost if your sins could not be forgiven. And so we want to make sure that we are forgiving others as we have been forgiven. There is no loophole. There is no exemption. You know, there's no way around this. We must be, you know, forgiven. Unforgiveness is just as deadly as a cancer. It will eat you alive. And if you don't kill that unforgiveness, man, if you don't get rid of it, if you don't really forgive, it will come back and get you one day. You might get busy and feel like it's in remission, but then you'll see that person or you'll see something they post, and man, all those old things start bubbling back up, and in your mind, you may not even be saying it out loud, but you're having a conversation in your head and you're letting them know just how awful they are. You're just letting it go, you know. And something is happening to you on the inside. Something is changing in you. Because that's not the Lord. The Lord doesn't say, hey, I forgive you, and then he sit there and think, boy, I'd really love to get them. You know, because if he wanted to get us, he could just get us. And he would be just in doing it, because there's no fault in him. Everything he does is just and right. And so for us, we can't, you know, walk up and look him in the eye. You know, everybody's looking at me. Hey, man, I love you. It's all good. And you walk around, I love everybody. Or then you get out of there and you talk to your best friend. You're like, can you believe they had the nerve to come up and talk to me? You've got to be careful about that stuff, because it affects you and it will creep up in you. And again, as I said, there's freedom in that forgiveness. When you really forgive somebody, you'll feel that release, and you're like, you know, it happened. I can't deny it. I remember it, but there's no more weight to it. I'm going on and serving the Lord. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, God is good, and here I am. I don't want to go through it again. I hope I don't have to do it, forgive them seven more times, but or 70 more times, or however many times. But I have forgiven them, and I can say, I can lift my hands and praise God with a clean heart. I can worship God and not feel like a hypocrite. You know, I'm like, you know, God, I have forgiven them. I'm not holding it against them. They don't deserve forgiveness. Ooh, who did? Not us. He offered that forgiveness to us. He just gave it to us, you know. It's here. This is part of the package. Forgiveness comes with it. And so, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not withholding what God offered to me so freely. So Jesus was very specific and direct when he would talk about forgiveness. He didn't, you know, mix up words about it. He said, this is how it is. Even when the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Even in the prayer, that's what I was talking about earlier. So when you pray, you need to be praying how to forgive, so that when it comes, you'll be ready. You won't have to be like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. You'll know that I can forgive, that you can just, it'll just roll out of your mouth before you even realize it. No, I forgive you. And part of your flesh is going, no, you don't. What are you told? Man, slap them first. Do something. But you've overcome. You've mortified the deed of the flesh through the Spirit. And because you've prayed in the Spirit, you've built yourself up on your most holy faith. And so forgiveness begins to come a little easier. It will never just be without pain or some other sort of negative emotion. That always comes with it, whether it's disappointment, anger, you know, hurt, that all that comes with that. But the Spirit will just smooth that out. The Lord said, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. He'll comfort you when you've been wronged. We always think about, well, he's going to comfort me when I'm going through a trial or when I've lost somebody. And yeah, he does that too, but he will comfort you when you've been wronged. I mean, look how he did with David in his trial with Saul. Saul tried to stick him to the wall with a javelin, ran him, you know, pursued him, made him run and hide, had to stay away from his home, his country, made him hide in caves and just always in fear of his life. And twice, you know, God just delivered Saul into his hand. And if David had wanted to, he could have just done it. He had a decision to make right then and there. But instead of actually taking Saul's life when he could have, and a lot of people, even his servants, thought, hey, God's laid this out on a silver platter. You know, here he is. He's delivered him into your hand. Kill him, and we don't have to run no more. But he knew, I can't touch the Lord's anointed. He's the same man that anointed him king, anointed me to be king. And so I can't touch him, and I'm not going to touch him, and y'all are not going to touch him. But we're going to let him know, hey, you know, you've been granted some mercy here today. And when Saul would see that, it would tear him up. He would just, oh, David, my son, is that you? And you're better than I am. And just, you know, just when you can just be forgiving when they've tried to stick you to the wall, and it'll finally, that last time he did that, Saul left off from bothering David anymore and went his way. So in this prayer that Jesus was teaching them to pray, he talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, if there's anything that's done here in earth as it is in heaven, it ought to be forgiveness. But it's a kingdom issue that this is kingdom related, for the kingdom of God is like, you know, and so it's, give us our daily bread. But then in verse 12, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is something, he says, you have to learn. You have to ask this and make it a statement of intent that, Lord, forgive me as I forgive. He didn't just say, Lord, forgive me and I'm going to go on about my way. He said, but you forgive me, forgiveness for me, and then forgiveness is going to come from me. I'm going to forgive also. I'm going to make this statement. That's in that prayer, you're declaring that thing. This is how I want it to be. I want to be forgiven, and so I am going to forgive. I want to be more like you every day. And so in verse 13, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Avoid the temptation of getting even. That comes right after forgiveness. Lead me not into temptation. Because every time that you're wronged, it's like I either going to get even or I'm going to forgive. The temptation for the flesh is give them as good as you got. We want to go back to an eye for an eye. You know, we want to lay it on them. But the Lord said, pray this now as you're talking about forgiveness, and I'll forgive others as you forgave me. Lead me not into temptation. Lord, don't let me be tempted to slander them or talk about them or say little things, plant seeds of doubt in other people's minds about them because I'm just trying to do anything I can to get them back. So don't, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Don't let me have evil speakings about my brother, because, friend, we've needed forgiveness, and not just from the Lord. We know we've wronged people and hurt people and had to say, I'm sorry, and we need forgiveness as well. Forgiveness is part of this walk. It's a kingdom matter. In verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you forgive. So forgiveness for me depends on forgiveness from me. If I won't forgive, I can't be forgiven. Not that he doesn't want to forgive me, but he's not going to. Could he? Yes. Will he? No. You can't pray long enough and hard enough. You can't say, God, just let me hold on to this unforgiveness, but I really need your forgiveness. He's going to say, you can't open your hands to receive it till you let go of what you're holding on to. You've got to let go of that unforgiveness, of that anger, that hatred, that bitterness. You've got to get over this, because if you won't forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven is not going to forgive your trespasses. So again, there's no loophole, no stipulation, no exceptions. It's simply forgive. Forgiveness for me, forgiveness from me. Tough. I didn't say you could just, I came into the church, man, your flesh will rise up so quick. You'll battle that flesh. You're going to battle this flesh until the Lord comes to get you. But the scripture says I can put it under subjection, and that I can mortify the deeds of it, that I can be led by the Spirit. And if you're led by the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is working in your life, then forgiveness becomes easier and easier. Mercy, compassion. You'll find, if you were to just sit down one day and think about how you were before the Lord, you watch the news and you see somebody do something, you're like, man, somebody needs to kill that dude. You know, you see them do something, you hear about somebody that they did something, some crime, some something, you know, and immediately our flesh is like, well, that's wrong, so they ought to just kill them, or they ought to, you know, if that was me, you know, we just, our flesh is like, get them back. That's what our flesh is just designed to do. Our flesh is a murderer. If it did, without the grace of God, we'd be picking up rocks and killing our brother. It happened from the beginning. But once we come to the Lord and we're learning to pray, we're learning to have mercy, we're learning to forgive others and be kind to people, and you realize, I want to be more like the Lord, all of a sudden you realize you don't say those things anymore. It don't make you popular, because you got friends that are like, they ought to be killed, and they're looking at you waiting on you to respond. And if you go, they shouldn't have done that, but you know, they're human and they need the Lord. They need forgiveness. What? You're spineless. Then you're a coward. Then you're all this other stuff. I'm just trying to be like the Lord. I don't like a lot of the wicked things that go on in this world, but I know, except for God's grace and mercy, I can't even imagine where I could be, or some things that I could have gotten into, because I'll tell you, I was headed definitely in the wrong direction when I finally came to the Lord, and there's no telling what I could have been involved in. I mean, I was unrestrained. Whatever I wanted to do, if it just struck me to do it, I would do it. That's how I lived. And so I thank God that I didn't wind up locked up or on death row, because I would be so angry sometimes at people, man, I would nearly kill them. Fought all the time. And man, just thankful that I never did kill anybody. But that was just who I was then. But man, God changed that. And he changes that. And so I can't, all the stuff he forgave me of, how can I hold back anything? Can't do it. Jesus forgave us of the most unspeakable things. Doesn't mean we don't hurt. I've already said it. It doesn't mean we forget. But there is no exception. We must forgive. We must be like him. We're striving to be more like Jesus every day, being the best version of ourselves. And this is one of the absolutes of his word. You must forgive. And this is when we talk about Christ being formed in us. He's not formed in us if the unforgiveness stays there. We, you know, it's going to take time. Like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. But if we can say, I won't forgive, we're bypassing him altogether. I want to forgive. I want to forgive. But since he did not allow an exception on this, I realized that I must forgive to be forgiven. So what do I do every day? As the pastor of this church, I strive, because I'm still just a man, and I've still got this flesh, and I still have to battle it just like anybody else. And if you don't think, man, a pastor needs to be able to forgive people, come on. Yeah, we take a lot of grief over things we never did, but you just learn to forgive. Without his forgiveness, I'm lost, and nothing else would matter. You can't love people only and not forgive them. And you can't worship, give, pray your way around unforgiveness. When you do the word, you get the results of the word. Forgiveness equals forgiveness. Forgiveness is a spiritual act, but it will manifest on a physical level. People will see the act of forgiveness in your life. They'll see the results of forgiveness in your life. And when you forgive others, they see the result of forgiveness in your life. Forgiveness is a truth, and the scripture says the Holy Ghost leads us into all truth. So we need the Spirit of God to help us forgive. And that's part when he said you'll receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's part of the power, that it gives you that ability to forgive others. Praise God. I'm glad that it gives us the ability to forgive others. I want to be a forgiver. I want to be able to do that. And now, you know, well, Jesus was telling them that, and Jesus said that from the cross, but you know, that was then. He was teaching his disciples something, but, you know, under this New Testament and the grace, and, you know, we got grace, so even if we don't forgive people, we're okay. I don't understand how once saved, always saved people get around that. Well, I got saved, so I don't have to forgive nobody. But the forever settled word says if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. And I said, and if you can't be forgiven, you can't be saved. So, you know, I don't know how they get around some of these things, these absolutes that God taught in his word. But it was also a message to the church that Paul, who knew something about forgiveness because God had forgiven him of so much, but two times he wrote about us in forgiveness. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, in verse 29, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, all these are results of unforgiveness." When you have unforgiveness in your heart, this is the way you talk. He said, put it away with all malice. And then he said, and be kind one to another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as Christ forgave you. And so these three things, these are the three things that make great saints of God: kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. This is, you're never more like him than when those three characteristics are evident in your life. And, you know, it's not always evident when you're just around people you love all the time. Because people say, that's a given. You take that for granted. When people see that shining the brightest is when you've been wrongly accused, when you've been lied on, when you've been hurt, and you still say, somebody comes up and says, man, what you going to do about that? How are you going to handle this? Well, I'm going to forgive them. What? Yeah, I'm going to forgive them. And God will sort this out, and God will work this out, and I'm just going to trust the Lord, because I'm not going to lose myself. I'm not going to give them that kind of power in my life that I'm going to lose out over something that they would hurt me over. Nobody gets that control in my life. That's not going to happen. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12. He said, put on therefore as the elect of God. So if we are the elect of God, he said, put this on. We're holy and beloved. He said, put on bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And then he said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. He said, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I tell you, a lot of times people want to be big, they want to be bad, they want to boast, but you're never bigger than when you forgive. That's the bigger person, when you can just forgive. And it's not about it's not a contest, it's not like we're trying to compare, but you know, when you forgive, you are doing what God asks you to do. Sometimes we wonder, am I getting it right, am I getting it right? Well, let me tell you, when you forgive, you're getting it right. There's no question to that. There's never an instance where you say, no, I should have not forgiven them for that. No, you always forgive, because that's what the Lord said to do. So also do ye. And so when we look back at our opening passage, the parable that he began to talk about, and he's, you know, they start out, Peter poses the question about forgiveness and how often do I do this? And the Lord, 70 times until 70 times seven. And he's setting a principle here. You just forgive. No matter how great it is, you forgive it. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. So if we're in this kingdom, if we want his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then we're seeking forgiveness, because forgiveness is a kingdom issue. And so we see in verse 25, it said, this man who owed so much, he had no way to pay this. There was nothing he could do. So sometimes people will wrong you, and they have no way really to make it right. And so that's some of the extreme things. I've seen things like this before where I remember specifically down in Covington one time, there was a church group that they were at McDonald's, and this woman ran over their child in the parking lot. It was the pastor's kid, and the child died. And, of course, people in an outrage, you know, it's reckless driving in the parking lot. This is going all the opinions coming out. And when they interviewed the man, he said, I don't hold any ill will against this person, and I have forgiven him. My wife and I have forgiven her. You know, she didn't set out to murder our child today. It happened, and we forgive her. This woman had no way to bring their child back. There's nothing she could do to fill that void. Couldn't fix it. But they said, that doesn't matter. I don't forgive you because you can fix it. I forgive you because it's right. I forgive others because that's what God would do. And when people are unable to make it right, we forgive. So he knew that. He knew he could do it. So it humbled him. He fell down. He worships the Lord, and he asked for forgiveness. And then we see the great mercy of the Lord in verse 27. He looses him from all this debt, the things you can't do anything about it, and I'll forgive you. And then, of course, we know it goes on. Now he finds a man who owes him just a small amount, and he grabs him by the throat. Very descriptive. Grabs him by the throat, choking him. Pay me what you owe. Forgiveness or unforgiveness will manifest in your life, and people will see it. They'll see that anger come out of you. They'll see that fly out of your face, and see your actions. You know, our mouth. It's got to be something that's from the heart. And, you know, that's what the Lord said at the end of this thing in verse 35. He said, if you don't from your heart forgive people their trespass. Our mouth cries for forgiveness, but are our hearts in tune with God? Because we can cry out for forgiveness to ease our pain, but is our heart ready? Is it like God's? Is it ready to say, I can forgive also? I can do that too. I can forgive others as you have forgiven me. We have to be able to forgive so we can be loosed and be free.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.